All right. Good morning, guys. Everybody is over here today, and then there's over there. You don't have to. I'll make sure I look in that direction every once in a while, just so you know I see you. That's great. No, this is the spot, though, that, you know, you get just the direct shot. All right. So we're talking through this topic, this question. What does it mean to be a Christian? And last week, I started talking through this topic of hearing God's voice. And we looked at a variety of passages, primarily in the New Testament, actually entirely in the New Testament. We stuck there for this one, although we could look at a lot of Old Testament examples as well for this topic. But we laid kind of a New Testament foundation for this idea last week. And I'm gonna leave you with just a little bit more of a cliffhanger and say we're gonna, I don't know, finish is a loose word with me, but next week we're going to kind of-ish finish this topic. And I'm gonna go into a little bit more of just the, I don't like talking about like the how-to with this thing, because hearing God's voice, it's not a formula. It's not like a three-step process where it's like, first do this, then you do this. Just tune that dial on your spiritual radio, you know, and you'll hear God's voice. It's not exactly like that, as it shouldn't be, right? This is a spiritual thing, a relationship with the God of the universe, and it's deeply personal. We're going to talk about that more next week, but hopefully everyone will be able to walk away with at least a little bit more of a framework that helps you to put this idea and this practice into something that's really workable, that gives you a place where you can say, okay, and you can just kind of float into it. It's kind of like getting into water, okay, and just like getting your bearings. That's kind of what it's like. It's a little mysterious, but that's the goal. So whether you just kind of step in yourself or if I just, you know, like, just kick you in, we'll take our next step. So today, though, you're like, well, what about today? Today, I want to talk about just, there's a few other things that I feel like, and I tossed this around in my mind. I tried to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? And I don't know if he told me to do it this way, but I don't think he clearly told me not to, so I'm going to go with it. But there's some things that I think are important for us to understand. We laid a biblical foundation last week, and so this week I want to talk about just some of the other stuff, because there's a lot of noise with a topic like this. There's a very broad spectrum of ideas. And so I just want to clear through some of the weeds related to this topic that hopefully on top of that biblical foundation this week, and maybe just clarifying, I sound like a wicked character, clarify just some of the things that are like, okay, what about this? What about this? Clear that out, and then next week we'll go into more of a, okay, let's do this. So I meant to bring a few things. I wanted to give you guys a sense of some of the really important, noteworthy sources on this topic. A lot of the things that I'm saying are not original to me. I didn't like invent this topic, FYI. A lot of people have written and spoken and thought deeply and practiced for decades this practice of hearing God's voice. And so, again, total fail, but I wanted you to be able to like see these books. For those of you especially who might be readers, who like to just learn more independently or just investigate topics like this, so I'm just going to throw out some names of books here. These are not on the screen. It's not anything like that. But one I already referenced by Dallas Willard. He wrote a book back in the 80s called Hearing God. So that's one, Dallas Willard, Hearing God. Another one is actually, it's a little teeny-weeny book. As I was reading more modern books, I saw everyone is referencing this guy named Brother Lawrence. And there's this little book by a guy, he was a French monk who lived in the 17th century, and he wrote a book called Practicing the Presence of God. So everyone's referencing this book, and I was like, okay, I have to buy this book, and I have to read this book. And so it's really small. You can read it really fast, but it's like, okay, wow, this is like really good, which is why people are still referencing it and quoting it hundreds of years later. So there's some ideas and things in my mind and that you're going to hear that kind of come from that. That's Practicing the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. And then there's, you've heard me reference a guy named David Benner. And the third book in his series where he really gets into this topic is called Desiring God's Will. Desiring God's Will by David Benner. And then a fourth book that is interesting and helpful and has some really good stuff, but there's things in there that I'm like, meh, is a book by a guy named Henry Blackaby. And he wrote a book almost 30 years ago, actually more than 30. It was back in the early 90s, I think. It was called Experiencing God. And there was like a whole Bible study. It was like in the Bible study era where everything was like a Bible study and you had like an 8.5 by 11, a giant book, you know, and you went through and did it. But he wrote this book, Experiencing God, that's all about perceiving, like, what is God doing around me, hearing his voice and responding and leaning into partnering with God in your day-to-day life. But so there's a lot of good stuff out there. And so a lot of what you're hearing and going to be hearing today is kind of a tapestry from a lot of different places. But with that caveat, a little literature review, if you will, we're going to start with this. Three mistaken views of hearing God's voice. And I'm just putting all three up there at the risk of just that being distracting, but I just wanted to put them all up there at the same time. We'll just camp out on each one here for a little bit. But when it comes to hearing God's voice, there are some who approach this topic from the perspective that God is always communicating with me directly. And any moment or every given moment of my day, if I'm listening, God is like actively communicating and giving me some kind of message about what I should be doing any given moment of the day. And if I'm not hearing him, I should probably be like going to him and being like, Lord, what do you want me to do right now? What is it? What do you have for me to do right now? And so it's like, message a minute. That's Willard's word that he put on this. We could probably call it different things, but there are folks that teach this, that try to live this out. God is constantly speaking to you, telling you what you should be doing if you're willing to listen. Now, this is interesting, and there's probably different motivations for those who teach this or who try to live this out. Some of those motivations could be really good, right? Somebody who wants to hear God's voice and do what he says, like, that could be coming from just a heart that is genuinely in love with the Lord and just wants to be in communion with him and wants to live a life that is, right, like following his will, right? That's well-meaning. The other motivation could potentially be fear. or shame or guilt, right? Where it's like, if I'm not doing God's will this moment, then like, I need to make sure I'm doing God's will or else, right? And I'm just living with this crippling fear. Is this what God wants? And I'm like, I'm living in this tension of like, is this what God wants me to do? Is this what God wants me to do? God, is this what you want me to do? It's like, that's kind of a really stressful place to be, right? Now, the challenge with this particular view, while it is very well-meaning often, it's just not quite what we see in Scripture, right? This isn't the norm of how we see God communicating with his people. Even the people in Scripture where God is like verbally, audibly showing up in visions and Christophanies and angels and hearing the voice of God, even in those situations where it is like God is directly communicating with key people who are moving the needle of his redemptive plan throughout Scripture, even those people, we don't see God constantly communicating with them. We see God stepping in when he needs to and where he needs to and how he needs to give them important instructions, right, that he has for them. And in between those moments, he just kind of trusts them to do what he's instructed them to do. And even he gives them pretty good amount of freedom in how they go about doing what he's called them to do. We're going to keep talking about that idea as we go through here. It's going to be kind of like a theme. But kind of a sub point to this is the idea that God's voice is not an ATM for advice or guidance about his will for every decision of our life. We're mistaken or we're not quite on track with where we need to be if we're only looking for God's voice to tell us what to do in any given decision we're trying to make in our life. Even if it's, big decisions, sure, like if you want to hear God's voice. But if we're only listening to God for these like big monumental decisions, and there's like something that feels really big and heavy, and we really want to hear God's voice, but we haven't been interested in hearing his voice, right? Just in like normal day-to-day moments. Not every second of the day, but in just normal life, in communion with him, then we're kind of missing something. Try to imagine being in a relationship with someone with this kind of, like message a minute idea. And we're camping out on this point for a little while, but a lot of these ideas are going to kind of trickle down and filter into some of the other things we talk about. But just try to imagine yourself being in a relationship with someone where they are nearly constantly asking you what you want them to do. Even if you have a position of authority in their life, this would drive you absolutely insane, right? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do for you now? What do you want me to do now? Just tell me what you want me to do. Just tell me what you want me to do. Anyone who's responsible for other people, or if you have ever been in leadership in any field of work, you've been responsible for employees, right? The best employees are the ones who there's guidelines, right? There's policies. There's things that you have to operate within, right? But between the lines of a lot of those policies, there's some gray area. There's some moment by moment common sense you have to apply in different situations. There's some wisdom you have to develop to say, okay, there's not like a rule for this, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to take ownership of this moment. I'm going to take ownership of this decision, and I'm not going to ask my boss for about every single thing that they have not explicitly told me to do. Shannon's laughing because she knows this, right? I've been in supervision. I've been in operations. I was a manager for UPS, and it's like, and I lead a church, you know, like whatever. And the best employees, the people that you're like, praise God, are the people who just step back, right? And they look, they observe, they see, and they just move to do something when they see that it needs to be done. And they're not like asking for permission, you know? And they know where that line is though too, right? Where it's like, okay, yeah, I have a lot of freedom here versus like, I'm going to take over this store, right? Like, I'm going to take over this, right? There's a fine nuanced line there that some people understand, and some people are either avoiding it completely, again, out of fear. Well, I don't want to make a decision because if I don't make the right decision, somebody's going to be mad at me. And they don't realize, like, no, I would love it if you don't call me, right? I would love it. Like, just make the call, okay? Like, yourself, not to me. Think back to the garden, right? God's design. Man, woman, made in his image. And he told them both, you're in charge. Have dominion. You represent, you are ambassadors of my sovereign reign over this domain. Have at it. God, do you want us to plant a tree right here? Do you want us to plant something right here? What do you want us to do right over here? God, what do you want us to do? What did you have in mind for this right here? He's like, you're in charge. Have dominion. You literally have one job, and there's literally just one thing you can't do. That's it. There's literally just one thing you can't do. So again, we'll keep kind of dabbling in that idea as we go through here, but mistaken view number two is it's all in the Bible. God doesn't speak to people today. God's not, what, is God going to tell you something and then you write it down and then you put it in the Bible and now it's scripture, you know? And I say that joke, but like these are the kinds of things that like people say, right? And it's like, nobody's saying that. I mean, some people are, some people do, like write their own Bibles, you know, then create cults around their own, you know, visions and ideas. So, okay, that has happened. Okay, but we're not talking about that. It's all in the Bible, though. God's spoken in the Bible, and so you don't need to hear anything else from the Holy Spirit. He's got nothing else for you. It's in the Bible. If he's going to do anything in your life, it's going to be through that Bible. Willard calls this Bible deism. If you're familiar with the idea of deism, it's this idea that there is a God and he created all things and he just kind of built the system to run itself. And after creation, whoever the divine being is just kind of stepped back and just lets things run its course. And so Willard says, this is kind of like Bible deism. God just kind of communicated what he wanted to through certain people. It's on the page, and there's nothing else you need to know or hear. There's no other leadership from the Spirit happening, no other communication, unless it's explicitly coming through the pages, the words on those pages. So we could talk more about this. We could talk a lot. We could spend a lot. We could spend a whole day talking through. And so, you know, I was kind of brought up in a culture, in a church culture, where this was really the main teaching. So, you know, as I looked at scripture myself and studied and learned and grew, I started to see, you know, the interesting thing about this perspective is this is, the Bible doesn't say this, right? What we saw in scripture and what we see all throughout scripture is no, God communicates with his people. And there's nowhere in the Bible that says God is going to stop communicating with his people. It's just not there. We could look at a couple passages where people try to say, oh, see, this means this is going to stop. It's like, well, no. I'm not going to go into all of that today because it's not the main point of what we're talking about. But if that's something anybody wants to talk about more, we can talk about it. But this is not what we actually see in the Bible. This is not actually what the Bible itself says. God still speaks. My sheep hear my voice. They go in, they go out, they find pasture, they follow me. Those who are God's children are led by the Spirit. We read from Paul. That's in the Bible. The third mistaken view here is that everything that happens is God's will. Everything that happens is God's will. And you're like, oh boy, where are we going with this? I'm not going to get into all of this either, okay? But what we have here is kind of a, like a Christian sanctified fatalism. Getting very philosophical today. And this could have different motives as well. This is almost like the opposite of the first mistake. In the message of minutes, like God is constantly telling me what to do. I need to be listening for his voice, and the stream of his voice is just always flowing, and I just need to tune to the frequency of his voice at every moment as best I can to hear what he wants me to do. This is kind of the opposite that just says, well, on the one hand, the motivation could be, I am going to, some people with this perspective, they're very active. They're very energetic, and they're trying to do as much as they possibly can, but they're doing it with the perspective that I can't do anything wrong. I can't do anything wrong. If I'm just charging 100% and doing all of these things, then at the end of the day, everything that happens is God's will. Whatever happens is God's will. I don't need to, like, overthink anything. Whatever happens is God's will. I don't need to, like, listen or discern maybe in the moment, like, is God telling me something? Sometimes this is paired with, it's all in the Bible. I just need to do what's in the Bible, and it's anything that happens as a result of that, it's just God's will. And this sounds very spiritual. It sounds very sanctified-ish. But again, it's not really what we see in Scripture. And again, there are things you can point to in Scripture that say, like, oh, well, yeah, we know, right? God's in control. God's working out his plan. And so there's ways that people logically, they use kind of a logical track to get to this point. The other side of this is to kind of sit back and it's like, well, I just don't have to worry really about anything. Like, whether I do it or not, whatever happens is God's will. So again, on the surface, this kind of sounds like a pretty spiritual approach to life. It sounds like faith on the surface. Like, oh, I'm just trusting God. But it's pretty hard to actually, like, live that out. It's just not livable on the one hand. And like the other examples, it's just not what we see God's people doing all throughout Scripture. We don't see any good examples in Scripture of people using this mindset as the basis for their decisions. We see God communicating and leading and people leaning in to live out their calling as God's ambassadors, as his agents of restoration and reconciliation. And God's called us to do something. There's no point where the apostles or Paul or Jesus says, here's what you need to do, and just know this. At the end of the day, meh, whatever happens is God's will. Doesn't quite land. So those are three mistaken views. And there's all kinds of, again, everything, there's a spectrum on all of this and everywhere in between. There could be people who fall on different sides of this. But these will just kind of help us sort through a couple things as we move forward. But one other thing on here that's worth noting before we move forward is this. We could go to that next slide here. Is that hearing God or thinking we did does not make us right. And this is related to where this comes out most is in situations where somebody, usually it's somebody in a leadership position, right? Somebody who is like telling other people what to do or is leading a church or a ministry or whatever. And we hear things like, God's given me a vision, right? Or God told me, and again, it's not just leaders and leader people, like lots of people say these kinds of things. God told me, fill in the blank, or God told me to tell you, fill in the blank. And now we have to be discerning because if we believe God still speaks and leads people, right, by his Spirit, then there are situations where God could have clearly communicated or led somebody in some direction or in some way. So, again, we need to be discerning, and this is one of the reasons why some people prefer to stick to it's all in the Bible, because it's like when you open the door to personal communication from the Spirit, you're opening the door to just about anybody could say that God told them just about anything and just be telling people stuff like it's a message from God, and it's like, well, is it? And a lot of people just don't want to deal with that because that can get really messy. And it does get messy sometimes. But phrases like this are commonly used by folks. Not everyone who says things like this are genuinely in tune with God's voice or what the Spirit is really leading them to do. And they will use phrases like this to basically say, I am right, and you need to do what I say. You should follow me, or I should get my way. Right? In our flesh, in our fallenness, our own heart idolatry can easily hijack these ideas and wield them to exert influence over others and manipulate people. And that's really wicked, but it's just a reality. It's what happens. And so we just need to be discerning in those moments. That's why it's all the more important for each and every and all the believers within a given church and a community to be practicing God's presence, to be practicing and developing an ear for God's voice. This is also why we see in Scripture, we see statements like test the spirits, testing prophets, weighing prophecies, evaluating, judging. And when somebody gets up and says, God told me, there's usually a collective process and other people, mature leaders within a church that are saying, okay, let's test this. Let's weigh this. Let's examine this. If this is really from God, let's discern this together. So that's important. I had actually an interesting experience with this. I actually have had a lot of interesting experiences. You've heard some of my thoughts on some of this, where it goes wrong. But when I was working at Liberty University on the property, on the campus, I had this situation where part of my job there, I oversaw basically the process of helping students get plugged into kind of either internships or just kind of real life ministry environments where they could, you know, internships or practicums and things like that. And sometimes that involved even jobs, you know, job placement or just like ministry placements and that kind of stuff. And so I collaborated with some other schools and departments within the university for this. And there was this one guy in one of the departments that came in, and he had come off the mission field and was working at the university. And one of the opportunities that was brought up and presented to our school was this position to run a Bible school in the Philippines. And so I was part of evaluating this opportunity and kind of bringing it in and communicating it to some of our students and people within our network. And it's one of those things where it's like, not really, this isn't something you take an undergrad student and say like, hey, why don't you go run a Bible school in the Philippines, right? So it's like, this doesn't fully fit our students, but maybe there's some people in our network that we could let them know about this. And a couple days of us just kind of interacting about this thing, I got an email from this other guy within Liberty. He wrote me an email and he said, hey, Kevin, I wanted to let you know that God told me that you're the guy for this position. God told me you're the guy for this. I met the qualifications. I probably could have done it well. I'm like, it would have been interesting. I had the MDiv, that was the minimum criteria they were looking for in terms of credential. And, you know, it's in the Philippines, so it's not like a, you know, it was a Bible school for training young people, young going into ministry, that kind of thing. And he said, God told me this is for you. And I didn't want to just be like, I didn't want to throw it back in his face. And I thought about it for a little bit of a day, how to respond to that. And part of the challenge of this too was, this is someone I didn't know very well. He's a very cerebral kind of person, kind of like me. But so I was like, I seriously thought, is he messing with me? Because I don't know him that well, and he seems like a pretty serious guy. I don't see him as just like the kind of guy who just messes with people just for fun. So I didn't want to say like, haha, LOL, you know? I was like, I don't think I can do that. And so I eventually emailed him back, and I said, you know, something like that, you know, thanks, I'm honored that you would consider me, you know, capable of that. And I said, God didn't tell me that. So if God clearly makes that clear to me, I'll follow up with them. I was like, God didn't tell me that. And then I never heard from him again. Never communicated with me ever again. I never saw him again on campus. I don't know what happened. And I genuinely was like, Lord, I don't want to just dismiss this outright, but it was like we were talking about church planting and moving forward, and I was like, this was like way out of left field, right? I was like, no, just this isn't it. I think you heard something else. Like, I don't know. So we have to be discerning. Hearing God or thinking we did does not make us right. And now, as we kind of lean and step in towards what we're going to talk about next week, I think this is huge. We're going to go to this next, last, final point on this. A better way. Hearing God's voice is part of an ongoing relationship of fellowship, communion, attentive awareness to his presence. Doesn't mean he's speaking and telling us what to do every moment, but we're just in communion. And when you really know somebody, you know what they want. You can communicate with your spouse a lot of things without saying anything, right? Like your eyes. You can say a lot with your eyes, right? Just one little itty bitty part of your body. So much we could say about that. This isn't a marriage conference. Right? This is a quote. Did I put a quote on here? Yeah, this is a Willard quote. Learning how to hear God is to be sought only as a part of a certain kind of life, a life of loving fellowship with the King and his other subjects within the kingdom of the heavens. Our primary goal is not just to hear the voice of God, but to be mature people in a loving relationship with him. I don't have this quote up here, but I wrote this one down too. Willard says, kind of touching on what we mentioned earlier, or what I talked about earlier, God does not delight in having to always explain what his will is. He enjoys it when we understand and act upon his will. Things are as they should be when God doesn't have to continually tell us what he wants us to do. But he does communicate with us, right? And so we need to learn to hear that and respond to that. And I think we even have, I have this passage, Matthew, this is from Matthew 25. In Matthew 25, there's a series of three parables. We have the parable of the 10 maidens, the parable here of the tenants, the stewards, the talents that are given, and then this parable of the final judgment where people are just doing small acts of kindness for people, and Jesus says, you did that to me. So it's always very hard for me to just highlight this one thing in this passage, because all of these parables really come together to make one bigger point. But they do stand on their own in some ways as well. So Jesus says, the kingdom, it's like a man about to go on a journey. He called his servants and he entrusted his possessions to them. He gave 5 talents to one, 2 talents to another, and 1 talent to another, depending on each one's ability. And then he went on a journey. And we know the story. I'm skipping through some here, but the man who had the 5 talents, he says he put them to work. And he went and he did stuff with it. And he doubled the resources. The man with 2 doubled his resources. And so Jesus, he comes to the ones who were faithful with what they were given. I guess read that other part. I didn't think I put it on there. But anyway, Jesus came to these guys. Thank you, Simon. You're tracking with me. His master said to him, he says this to both the one that had the 5 talents and the one that had the 2 talents. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. The things that I entrusted to you, you were faithful with it. I'll put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy. It was like just like the garden, right? He just entrusted them with his stuff and said, you're in charge. And they went to work with it. They weren't constantly like sending him messengers being like, what do you want me to do actually exactly? Could you tell me exactly what you want me to do with this? That would be great. He's like, whatever you want. Like, just be faithful with it. And then to the one who had 1 talent, we know the story, he buried it in the ground somewhere because he thought, oh, man, he had a mistaken understanding of his master. He was like, man, you're a tough guy. I don't want to mess anything up with your possessions here. I'm just going to bury it in the ground. And that was a thing people did. I'm just going to keep it, you know, it'll just be safe and sound there. And we'll just take it out when you come back. And that master says to him, you're an evil, lazy servant. That's really harsh, right? Wow. But that kind of communicates that pretty clearly, right? Now, this master didn't have any communicate, right? So it's like all examples break down. But we do get some communication with the Spirit, right? We do have some input from him that we do need to learn to discern and hear and respond to. But as we do that, and we'll talk more about that next week, I think more than anything, it's just super helpful to think about it within this framework of just think about the normal ways you relate to and communicate with people in your life, especially people that you're in an intimate, close relationship with, or even in workplace environments, right, where it's like you do have some kind of authority or communication where you're either responsible for work that other people do, or you're one of the people who are maybe under someone else's authority in some way. Learning to be those people who just observe, who look, who step back, who look for whatever needs to or could be done and say, okay, God's entrusted me with fill in the blank. How can I take what's been entrusted to me and how can I insert myself into the fabric of the tapestry of my world, right? This is actually what it means to be a peacemaker. The biblical idea of peace, of shalom, is bringing wholeness to things that are not quite whole, fixing things that are broken. And so anywhere and everywhere around us, there are things that could be better. There are things that could be done. There are little cracks and tears in just, I just think, it was actually Tim Keller who, in his book Generous Justice, he uses this analogy of a tapestry. And the work of justice, the work of peace, and bringing shalom to our environment is where we see those gaps, and we just take it upon ourselves. We don't wait for permission. We've already got permission. We just insert ourselves into the fabric of that tapestry where it's needed, and we just do it. But there are going to be times, and we'll talk about this next week, where God does step in, God does intervene, God does speak. Not always even to just tell us what to do. Sometimes God's voice is just him saying, "You are my beloved child. I am so pleased in you." That's what he said to Jesus when Jesus started his ministry. Sometimes his voice is like what he said to Paul. When Paul was like, "God, could you deal with this thing that's holding me back?" And God just said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." He didn't tell him what to do. He just said, "You're good. You're okay." Right? That's what we say to our kids all the time. We don't tell them what to do. When we send our kids out into the yard, outside, our will for them is to just not bother us, right? That's my will for your life right now. Just stop bothering. Just do whatever you want out there. If you're out in the yard, you are in my will, right? You can do almost anything you want if I don't see it, right? Just don't come in crying. But sometimes I got to step out on the back deck and be like, "Excuse me." It's just life. Hearing God's voice, walking with him, attentiveness to his presence, hearing his voice. So we'll keep chatting about that next week. It'll be fun. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We love you. We are so grateful for your goodness toward us, your grace, your provision, for your voice, how you lead us, you guide us, you go with us, you're for us. And Lord, we just pray that you would just help us to just keep growing in this. Help us to be more attentive, more aware of your presence, your voice, to discern your voice from the noise. Lord, help us to just keep taking steps as we talked about, just reducing or even if possible eliminating things that compete with that attention, that compete with our attention. And let us be people who do hear from you, who do respond with obedience and faithfulness, but who also are just ready and willing and able and faithful to just, in every moment in between, just take whatever you've given us and just be faithful with it. To just look at whatever needs to be done in any given moment or day to day, whatever it is you've given us for a given day, may we grow into the kind of people who just take ownership, who lean into the authority that you've given us as your sons and daughters and just insert ourselves into the fabric of the world you've put us in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our community, in this church. Show us more and more what that looks like. Or don't show us and just let us do it. We'll just do it the best we know how. Lord, we love you. We trust you for all of it. In Jesus' name, amen.